page number 12, I believe it is. I believe that's how far we have proceeded here. Page number 12. First thing we're noticing about this church and the introduction to it is we're looking at our message, our doctrine, what we believe, our statement of faith, if you will. Now, not everything we believe is in these pages. If you'd like to learn more about our statement of faith, or on different things and so on, we're in the process of updating our bylaws, and there's a more complete statement of faith. But these are some of the vital, vital doctrines of the Word of God. We've come to page number 12. Last time we met, we finished with Bible doctrine number 9, and that is the doctrine of heaven. Aren't you glad heaven's for real tonight, friends? Now we start here with the opposite on the doctrine of hell. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you now. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Page 12 there, if you've got the book. If you don't, just look on beside somebody right there with you. We believe in a literal burning hell, and that the lake of fire and brimstone shall be the place of eternal punishment for Satan, fallen angels, demons, and the unbelieving dead. This means that we believe that hell and the lake of fire, which are two separate places, by the way, the Bible says that hell will eventually be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. We believe that when the Word of God uses the word fire, when it's talking about this place, that the Lord is talking about literal fire. Now, I'll be honest with you, I wish this wasn't true. But if you believe the Bible, which we say we do, we believe the Word of God. If we don't believe it, why are we here? Let's just close down shop and go home. Close the doors, padlock the doors. This is the Word of God. And the Bible plainly teaches that just as there's a real place called heaven, there is a real place called hell. If you doubt hell, you must doubt heaven, is what I'm saying. Because the Bible uses the same terminology about both places. Takes for granted, if you will, that we know it's a real place. Where do you get your Bible doctrine? From the Word of God. Let's look at this. Mark 9, 42 to 48. Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, this is Jesus speaking, that believe in me, it's better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand right, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter in halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Luke 16, 22 to 26. It came to pass the beggar died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Revelation 20, verses 10 to 15. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. By the way, I'm looking forward to that day right there. Where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne. I made reference to this morning. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If you read the Bible and you take the Bible for what it says, and we believe what Jesus Christ plainly teaches, we must believe that there's a literal place called hell. And there's a literal place where the eternal destruction of those without Christ will spend forever upon ever upon ever. Do you believe that? Be careful saying amen. Do you believe it? Are you proving it? How many people did you tell about Christ last week? How many people are you praying for that they trust Christ as their Savior? When's the last time, and I'm convicted right here, but when's the last time that hell was so real to you that you wept over those going? This is one of the Bible doctrines. And may the Lord help us to see hell as a reality. I believe it was William Booth. I don't have this in my notes, but I'm using my memory, which is very dangerous. But I believe it was William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, who basically made a statement similar to this. If we could open hell and hold our workers over hell for 5 minutes, I'd never have to preach on it again. What would happen tonight if, for some reason, this took place? And I, by the way, I'm glad it's not going to happen, okay? But what if all of a sudden the back doors and the doors all around this place locked, the windows locked, and you could not get out? And the Lord God of heaven came up into this pulpit and said, you didn't realize what you were coming to tonight, but now you're getting ready to find out. We're going to take a little journey. And I'm going to take you into hell. And I'm going to allow you to experience it for 60 seconds. Just 1 minute. You must go, you will go, you will feel the flames, you will smell the burning flesh, you will cry out, you will cry for one drop of mercy, one drop, I'm talking about just to touch your tongue. You will feel the pain, you will feel the torment, you will hear the screams, you will feel the darkness, you'll see all of this. Just for 1 minute. And he took us to that place, and we experienced what the Bible plainly teaches. Outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Some people try to say, well, I thought fire gives off light. How can hell be a place of darkness and yet a place of fire? May I say this to you? You realize that it is a scientifically proven fact that the hottest flames on the sun burn black. The hottest flames burn black. I don't know what all it is. But I know this, I'm glad I'm not going to this place. But if he had us all go for 60 seconds and came back and unloaded and now we're here and now all the doors are open, the windows are unlocked again, you think it'd change our life? Do you? Yes? See, in our human flesh, the devil fights against the doctrine of Scripture. He fights against the message of the Word of God. And we can almost hear Luke chapter 16 read, and it's so familiar to us that we just breeze through it, and it doesn't mean anything like it should. One of our main messages at this church is that there's a place called hell, and we don't want you to go there. Finally, we close this first part of our message with the doctrine of the second coming of Christ. Now, I've been preaching on this in the morning service, so we'll just look at this here quickly. We believe in the body, personal, premillennial, pre-tribulational, and imminent coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the air to catch away all believers unto himself. Let me define some words here. We believe in the bodily. What's that mean? That means he's coming back in body form. We believe in the personal. That means he's not going to send his representative. The same Jesus that went up into heaven, the same Jesus coming back again. We believe in the premillennial return. What's that mean? That means he's coming back before he sets up his millennial reign. The pre-tribulational, what's that mean? That means this. That means he's coming back to rapture his children before the tribulation period begins on planet Earth. We believe that Jesus is coming back twice. He's coming back in the clouds, the rapture, before the tribulation to catch out his bride. The tribulation breaks out upon earth. Then premillennial, he comes back to establish his millennial kingdom upon planet earth. That's when his feet will touch earth and the mountain will part and all and every eye will see him, and they will cry out for the rocks and mountains to fall upon them and hide them from the face of the wrath of the Lamb of God. We also believe in the personal, visible, and glorious return of Christ to the earth with believers at the close of the tribulation period. I've already just said that. To judge the nations and set up his millennial kingdom on earth. Acts 1 verse 11, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." John 14:3, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Matthew 24:42-44. "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." We believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. We get that from the Word of the living God. Now friends, listen to me. If he's not coming back, then he's a liar. And if he's a liar, we have no hope of salvation. It's as sure as my name is Jody that Jesus is coming again. And it could be today. If he comes, it's going to be bodily form. It's going to be a personal form. The first thing we're looking for is the pre-tribulational appearance of Jesus Christ. In the clouds, as a thief, he will snatch out his bride. And the tribulation period will begin on planet Earth. This is just a glimpse of our message. Now again, you can notice the note here. Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church's complete statement of faith can be found in its constitution and bylaws. We're in the process of updating those, and you'll be receiving those in the future, especially if you're a church member and here at that time. Now, second thing we're looking at. Not only our message, but second thing, we'll only get started with this point, our meaning. Now, you are sitting in an independent, fundamental Baptist church. That's what you're sitting in. You need to understand what that means. By the way, the IFB, which is what the liberal media has turned us into, that's just an IFB church, independent fundamental Baptist. That's an IFB church. That's the IFB crowd. That's the IFB, IFB, IFB. May I say this to you? There are some independent fundamental Baptists who have given us some black eyes, no questions asked. But it is unfair to lump everybody into the same bowl. I am glad I'm an independent fundamental Baptist preacher. I'm thrilled to be identified as that. But we need to understand why. What does it mean? Let's break this apart, okay? Now, this may be the as far as we get tonight. What does it mean to be independent? What does that mean? Let's read this. This simply means that we reserve and recognize the right of churches, local churches, including our church, to independently secure a pastor, support missionaries, collect and dispense funds, carry out the business and ministries of the local church. We believe the local church has the absolute right to self-government, free from the interference of any individuals or organizations, religious or political, that the one and only superintendent is Christ through the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. That's a pretty good definition of what independent means. What it simply means is this: we reserve the right that nobody from the outside can tell this church what to do. That we get our orders directly from the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. We do not have to go through a headquarters or another agency or another man to say, is it okay with you if we support that missionary? We don't have to do that. We reserve the right of autonomy. We reserve the right that we are a self-governing body. Somebody from the outside does not put the pastor in this place. The church body elects the pastor among them. You follow me where I'm going here? It means that we do not take our orders outside the four walls of this church for any of the church business and affairs. We are independent. We're independent. Now, in the New Testament, I'm not going to read all of this because it's a lot. Matter of fact, you can read this later, but every one of these that you read, I want you to flip to page 17, okay? But every one of these scriptures that I've given you, when you read down through it, notice how the local church had authority over its own affairs. Nobody from the outside told them this. No, they were led of the Holy Spirit of God independently to govern the affairs of their own church body, okay? Look at Ephesians 3:21, about halfway down the page on verse number, on page numbers. You can tell I'm a preacher. I call pages verses. But anyway, page 17. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Notice Ephesians 5:23-24. Notice, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. This church is to be in subjection to one person. And that one person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he puts a pastor in a church to represent him. He puts deacons in a local church. I'm talking about the two scriptural offices. That's later on in the book that I'll teach in all of that. But the two scriptural offices, and the deacons are simply servants to help the pastor with the work of the ministry. That's all a deacon is. A deacon does not call the shots. A deacon helps the pastor under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, if you're a deacon, you're doing a fabulous job. God bless you. I mean, you help me tremendously, tremendously. It's amazing how you help me. Some things are going on, and I'm like, deacon will speak up and say this right here. I'm talking about on things of the world that maybe I'm just not up to date on, you know, all these kind of things. The deacons come along and help me here and help me there. Hey, have you thought about this? And then we pray, we seek God. God leads the pastor. The pastor shares it with the deacons. And as a pastor and deacon board, we share it with the church the best we know how, that God is leading this church to do this. And if we ever start leading this church against God, get rid of me and get rid of every one of the deacons. Did you hear what I just said? You have the right to do that because we're an independent Baptist church. We self-govern. We govern ourselves. We don't have to go get permission from that agency or this headquarters or that. No, we're independent. We're independent. Matthew 16:18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Colossians 1:17-18. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. The preeminence. The Word of God teaches elsewhere in these scriptures that you will read, if you will read these, about how the Holy Spirit spoke to the church and said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul. He spoke to the church to do that. And the church had the ability to make that decision. Now, flip the page. I've given myself about 5 minutes here or so. We are a fundamental church. Now, Don't let the word fundamental scare you. The world has tried to take the word fundamental and change it into something that it absolutely is not. For instance, I'm talking about the term fundamental today has a bad connotation. That's why it needs to be defined. There are fundamental Muslims. And I hope that you are a fundamentalist at your job site. What's it mean? You know what it means to be fundamental? Look at this. A fundamental is a cardinal or essential doctrine of Christianity. In other words, you cannot deny any of these fundamentals and still have Christianity. We believe there's five of them. Now, what's this mean? Your car, okay? Let's get deep here, okay? Let's get into the deeper things of life. Let's talk about your car just a minute. Do you realize that your car has some fundamentals to it? Now, believe it or not, the air conditioning is not a fundamental, okay? Some of you think it is, but it's not a fundamental. It means if you don't have it, it's still going to run, right? Do you realize that there are some things in the Word of God, there are some things in a church that are not fundamental? And when churches get in trouble is when they try to make a non-fundamental a fundamental. And when they try to make a fundamental a non-fundamental. But there are some things on your car that it cannot do without. You take the steering wheel off, you got problems, friends. You take the oil out of the tank, are you listening to me? You got problems. You take gas out of it, you've just removed a fundamental. It cannot function without it. You know what it means to be a fundamental church? It means we believe in the cardinal doctrines of the Word of God. We stand on them, we teach them, and we separate from anybody who doesn't. That's what it means. It means that we stand on the Word of God. That's what it means. And that we believe in the cardinal doctrines of Christianity. Let me just give you, this may be as far as I get here. I've already said that once or twice, but number one, fundamental. Now, there may be more than five, but these are five cardinal doctrines of the Word of God. Number one, the verbal inspiration of Scripture. We believe the Bible is the very Word of God. Friends, if it's not, what is and what's not? What do you take and what do you throw out? You know that's what some people do. That's what some people do. We don't do that here. We preach line upon line, precept upon precept. I'm preaching through books and having the time of my life doing it. Because I want you to see what God's Word says. We know we're going to heaven because the Bible told us how we can know. We know there's a heaven, there's a hell. We know there's a Jesus, there's a God, there's a Holy Spirit. We know all of this from this book I hold in my hands. We believe that this book is inspired by God from cover to cover in its original writings and preserved for us in every generation. And in the King James Version, that's what we believe and teach and stand on at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We do that because these other versions come from another text. And friends, just like Dr. Curtis Hudson said, things that are different are not the same. They are not the same. The Westcott Hort, the Textus Receptus, and the Masoretic text here, they are not the same. They are different. They have changes in it. And if you believe in the preservation of Scripture, the Word of God teaches that God will preserve His Word to every generation. Can I get an amen, please? He said, I will inspire my word. Every Word of God is inspired. The Word of God teaches that. It's given by inspiration of God. That means God breathed it. God spoke it. It's the very Word of God. He used human penmen to write it down, but He didn't just turn them loose. They were moved by the Holy Spirit of God, the Bible says. So they were writing down the very words of God, not His thoughts, His words. We believe in every word, the verbal plenary inspiration of Scripture. That means we believe every word completely is the Word of God. That's exciting to me because I get up and preach what God said. And when you open the Bible and say, look at verse number 3, there's what he said. You can rear back on your hind legs and say, this is what God said. And that's what this church is all about. But he said this. He said, I'm not only just going to inspire it, I'm going to preserve it to every generation. And I personally believe that God is powerful enough that every generation has had the preserved Word of God. That's what he said. If you believe that, in English, you have to believe in the King James Version. Amen. Amen. Because the Westcott Hortex, which the NIV, the NASV, the RSV, and these other versions came out of, it was hidden for over 1,000 years. Which means that those generations for 1,000 years, if the King James was not the Word of God, then nobody had the preserved Word of God. Right, friends? Am I shooting it straight, preacher, right here? I'm shooting it straight. If you believe in the preserved Word of God, you must believe in the King James Version. Now let me go a step further and say this. We have folks who come here, no doubt, on Sunday morning. Maybe some here tonight. You don't have a King James Version. I'm not attacking you. I'm not attacking you. God knows my heart. But I am trying to inform you. I am trying to show you. And you can make your own decision between the Lord, God of heaven. Pray and ask God to show you. And let God work on you. We should never mistreat somebody because they don't have a Bible that we think they should have. We ought to help them along and say, here's what we believe and here's why we believe it. We believe in the verbal inspiration of Scripture. We believe that this book is the Word of God. You know what? That's blessing my heart tonight, honestly. It's blessing my heart that I can raise this book right here and know God breathed every word of that book. Every word of it. Every word. Every word. And this gives us great authority. Sunday school teachers, it's okay to give illustrations. Jesus gave them. But don't let anything replace the teaching of the Word of God. Give people the Bible. Preach the Bible. Teach the Bible. Let's look at these verses and we'll close. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. That means they didn't go off into a corner somewhere and just write down their own thoughts. It's of no private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Boy, let that bless your heart right there, friends. That means that Peter didn't just go over and say, well, I'll tell you one thing. I want those folks at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church to know what I think about this. So let me just go over here and put this in 2 Peter. That didn't happen. The Word of God came to us that the Holy Ghost of God was moving these holy men of God as they were penning the Word of God. Friends, there is no book like this book in my hands. I mean the unity of it, the harmony of it. I'm talking about in context, I mean the verses, I mean everything. There's no book like this book. Let us ever be a church that lifts up the Word of God and says, thus saith the Lord. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture. Not some, not most, all. We believe that is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So tonight we're just leaning on some things here. We're just plowing through the book. We started on page 12. We've made it halfway through page 18. And I'm just trying to give you some things because eventually this book is going to become like a new members class. That the new members are going to go through this book, and then if they desire to join the church after that, they've gone through the book and they know what we believe, and they're going to join us knowing what they're getting involved in. But I know the Lord wanted me to take the whole church through it first. So that's what we're doing. I realize that this is just repeat for some people. But it's good to repeat some things every now and then. And we need to know what we believe. So today we simply finished on our message that we believe the doctrine of hell. We believe the doctrine of the second coming of Christ. We're right in the middle now of our meaning. What's it mean to be independent? It means that we don't have some outside human or outside organization coming into this church and telling us what to do, who to hire, what missionaries to take on. No, it's a self-governing body. We are a fundamental church. That simply means that we believe and teach and associate with those who believe and teach all of the cardinal essential doctrines of our Christian faith. And the first one that we looked at tonight is the verbal inspiration of Scripture. Friends, if it starts there. If we don't believe that, why do we believe the virgin birth? Because the Bible's the one that told us that. Why do we believe Jesus coming back? Because the Bible's where we get that. So if we don't believe in the verbal inspiration of Scripture, we are denying a fundamental doctrine. Because we're denying everything it says then, you see. Or at least part of it. And I'm glad that I don't have to worry. Is that really God's word, what I just read? Or is that some man's thought? Aren't you glad of that, friends? I mean, honestly, that we have the canon of Scripture. It is completed. And by the way, if somebody ever says, God revealed something to me last night, an extra biblical revelation, I mean, he showed me something about that book, you can stop him right there and say, excuse me, while I go lose my lunch for a while here. That person, are you listening to me, is a false prophet. Because God has written what he said, said what he meant, and he's not going to add to it or take away from it. And he says, by the way, if you try to add or take away from it, he'll take your part out of the book of life. What's that mean? I don't know what that means. But I know this. I know that I have the Word of God in my hands. And we're going to preach it, God helping us, until the trumpet sounds. Let us stand firm on the Word of God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we? Father, we love you tonight. Bless us, I pray. Thank you for this introduction book to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Would you help us to guide in this invitation, bless in this invitation? Would you lead and direct in all of it? Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I know this is different. It's almost like turning the Sunday night service into a classroom. I understand that. That's what we're doing, really. But you know, the Lord God of heaven can speak during any service that the Word of God is preached. And tonight, you've heard the Word of God. Even though we're applying it to our church and an introduction to it as they begin to play through softly. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? We started tonight with the doctrine of hell. And that the Bible plainly teaches that those without Christ will go to a devil's hell. Ultimately to end up in the lake of fire for eternity. If that's you tonight, you're not sure of heaven, come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Or maybe tonight you want to come because you just rejoice in what you hold in your hands. Thank you, God, that I have a copy of the Word of God. There are people tonight around the world who do not have what you have in your hands. Matter of fact, if you have your Bible, would you put it in your hands just a moment, please? Would you open your eyes and look at it just a moment? Grab your Bible, look at it. What you hold in your hands, there's folks around the world who have never even seen a copy of it. There's folks around the world that if they were given what you hold in your hands, they would clasp it against their own bosom. They would kiss it because it'd be the first Bible that they've ever had. What is this church about? You looking at your Bible? There's what it's about. It's about the Scriptures. It's about God and His Word. That's what it's about. You know what would be good tonight? This is if the Lord's leading you. Why don't some of you all get out of your seat, bring your Bible to the altar, lay it on the altar and say, God, thank you that I have a copy of this. Help me to make it a part of my daily life. Help me to read it every day, try to obey it, memorize it, study it. If you're a Sunday school teacher, why don't you come and say, God, I'm committing to you right now. I'm going to preach your word. I'm going to teach your word to my class. You bus captains, you should be having Bible clubs, Bible studies and stuff to and from church. Somebody ought to be teaching Scripture on that bus route, whether it's a Bible verse, memorize a verse. Why don't we come and say, God, help us to focus on the Word of God. Help us not to add to it, take away from it. Help us just to simply open it and give it to people. Some of you deacons, I'm not trying to force you to do this. I'm just trying to burden you here. Wouldn't it be great to say, God, keep this church standing firm on this book? I believe God's in that. I really do. I'm not going to have anybody stand. I'm not going to have anybody sing. I'm going to pray. As soon as I say amen, if you'd like to leave your place and come to this altar, or maybe you just like to make your seat an altar, and if you can kneel on the ground right there in your seat, go ahead and do it. If you can't get on your knees, God knows that, but let's just rejoice tonight that we have a copy of God's Word. Let's rejoice tonight that we have the Bible, and let's give it to others. If somebody's here that doesn't know Jesus, come. We'll be honored to take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Father, bless now, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Maybe you want to come tonight. Bring your Bible. Just bring it, put it before the Lord and say, I just want to thank you, God, that I have a copy of this book. I want to thank you, God, that you've been so gracious to me that I was born in America. Somebody gave me a Bible. And I'm able to take it and read it. I'm able to come to a church that's going to preach it and teach it. Able to come to a place that is majoring on Scripture. Let's rejoice tonight in what we have. Let's rejoice tonight in our Bible that's in our hands. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. Amen. Amen. Brother Gary, I want to ask you if you wouldn't mind to find a song that has to do with Scripture. I'm sure it may be in there, or maybe it's a chorus that you know of. I'd like to end tonight with just singing to the Lord, praising Him for His Word, thinking about Scripture, praising Him for the Word of God that we hold in our hands. Let us stand on it, stand firm on it. Let's not be rude in our stand, but let us be firm in our stand. Gracious, loving, kind, giving people the Word of God. What page is that, Brother Gary? Page 369, if you're seated. Let's all stand together, please. We're going to sing this as our closing prayer. As they play, as soon as they get done, we'll dismiss those who are going to go to the meeting right after the service. Let's sing page 369, shall we?
I know the Bible was sent from God, the old as well as the new, inspired and holy, the living Word.
Get your Bible out, let's wave it in praise to God.
I know the Bible is true, divine, inspired, the whole way through. I know the Bible is true.
They're playing through. Brother Mark, if you'll come, we have one. A couple of business items here. Just keep playing through. We'll vote on this. We'll dismiss those coming to the meeting, and then we'll be on our way.